B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 4 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. It's 7-6 day. 975 The Fanatic helping the Sixers celebrate their day on the calendar. And we're giving people a chance to win awesome 76ers autograph prizes every hour. We had Josh Richardson on a little earlier, Charles Barkley at 5 o'clock. And our next guest, who is charged with calling games in a very different and unusual way, he, of course, is the play-by-play announcer for Sixers games on NBC Sports Philadelphia, the great Mark Zumoff. Hello, Mark Zumoff.
Mikey, what's up, my man?
Well, it's getting close, and first of all, we get your whole general spin on this, but specifically, what's going through your head on how you're going to pull this off? So, first of all, the bubble, it's locked down. They're going to go through with it. They're going to be on the flights tomorrow through to Thursday. Get down there, quarantine the whole bit, and then we roll. What is your whole opinion on whether the NBA can pull this off or not?
Certainly, I'm not a public health expert, but as I think about it, and first of all, let me just say that when Adam Silver is in charge, I put my full faith and credit behind him. I think he does a great job. I think that he is up for this challenge. Remember, he was the first commissioner to stop play because of COVID. So he's forward thinking. He's progressive. He's involved the players and the players union. He's been consulting with anyone of a number of public health people all along. So I think he knows what he's doing. I think that the NBA, aside from the financial ramifications, certainly sees the public benefit of doing something like this. And quite frankly, as a group, and I don't know how many there's going to be, 35 times however many teams and, you know, other officials and whatnot, maybe 1,000 or 1,500, something like that, they will be in a very controlled environment. So when you think about it, the players are going to have not only all of their facilities to work out and, of course, their hotel rooms, but there's going to be recreation areas. There's going to be things that they can do within the Disney complex. They'll have mental health people. They'll have yoga. It's going to be its own little city. So, you know, when you think about it, with all the testing that's going to be going on, with the temperature checks that are going to happen certainly every day and sometimes twice a day, you know, I feel pretty good about it. And I'm excited to be participating, even though I won't be there. I'm looking forward to what I anticipate will be games on NBC Sports Philadelphia at some point.
All right, so I get the point you're making. There's going to be like a zero grid because everybody's going to be tested. So everybody is fresh and sanitized, and it's about playing basketball in the bubble. But that's not where it stops, unfortunately. People are going to be coming in. People are going to be coming out. I don't know how tight they're going to be able to control that. And I guess what I'm saying is there's always a chance that someone is going to test positive. And so what do you like? And just, it's not going to just be one. And we're seeing it in other sports where people are testing positive. So what happens at that point? What's their plan to handle that?
Well, it's my understanding that if someone tests positive, they will be quarantined and they'll probably do some contact tracing just to make sure that they didn't come in contact with anyone else who is in that sphere, so to speak. And then they will do what they will normally do. I would think that somewhere, somehow, somebody is considering, well, what if you get X amount of cases? Will that necessitate some sort of drastic action? But I'm fairly confident, and again, I'm not a public health official, but I'm fairly confident that with all of the measures the NBA is taking, whether they're preventative or measures they have to take in case someone does have the virus, they will deal with it accordingly. So this is going to happen. There's too much momentum now, whether it's the league or the teams or the accompanying media or whatever, for this to stop. And, you know, we'll see. They're going to be down there very shortly. They will be quarantining. They're going to have some scrimmage games. They're really going to ease into this. And, I would like to think that with a minimum amount of issues, whether it's infections or whatever, that this thing is going to go off and they're going to be able to finish the season.
Talk to Mark Zuboff. He's going to bring us the games. We'll talk about it in a second, how he's going to bring it. We just had Josh Richardson on, and one of the things he admitted at the top was he's scared. And a lot of these players are scared. And so, it's certainly a higher priority than summer camp. But like, you used to get scared going to summer camp. You didn't know what was up when you went, once you get there. These guys, I think it's good that they're scared, because that means to me they're going to take it seriously to embrace the discipline of staying in place while they're there instead of, getting itchy to do something. Do you see it that way?
I'm hoping so. I hope that, if it's scared or if it's just a lot of concern, and therefore, as you say, that equals a fair or a good amount of caution. The NBA has issued, and I don't know if you've seen it, but there is a handbook that we've been made privy to as members of the media, where there are going to be a lot of different things for players to do. So, whether it's the gaming that they like or fraternity, that sort of thing. I do know that once you get into the playoffs, there is a particular point where a limited number of family members will be able to come down and visit. So, because by then, if you're still around, you've been there, let's say a month and a half, close to 2 months, you're going to need some outside family or significant others to come down. So, listen, I'll admit that I would be concerned. I don't know if I would put the word scared behind it, but again, you're in a controlled environment. You're not going to be going to the beach. You're not going to be going to other places where you can make contact with people who might have the virus. So I think for what it is, it's as safe as you can get. And we've already seen some examples now. I was watching Premier League action today. I'm a Tottenham fan, and I was watching their game. And it's kind of weird to see it without fans in an empty stadium, but they've been going, and I haven't heard of anything where they feel the necessity to stop playing because of an unusual amount of infection.
I guess here's my biggest fear, that there always is a knucklehead. And that knucklehead goes outside the bubble, and there's this no snitch culture where people know he goes outside the bubble, and then he comes back, and he's not ID'd, but according to the protocol, where he would have to be isolated at that point, and then that spreads something. That's my biggest fear of this whole thing, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Well, and that's where it comes down to testing and the frequency of it, in that if that happens every day, or at the very least every other day, hopefully you catch it in time, so that between isolating that person and whatever contact tracing you have to do, hopefully you've nipped it in the bud, so to speak, and it hasn't gotten out of hand. So I hear what you're saying, and as best as those plans will be laid forth, you're right, Mike, there is the possibility that, something could happen that was unforeseen, but hopefully they have all of the fail safes in place that it won't become too big of a problem.
All right, Mark Zuboff, we're talking to, and let's get to the broadcasting part of this. Very, very different environment here. What will your prep be like? How will it change when you anticipate the moment? What are we going to see with Mark Zuboff calling games?
So the prep is obviously different, because before a game, it's prime time for me. There are any one of a number of coaches, players, scouts, NBA people who are around that you schmooze with. And then by the time you hit the air, you are full of stories and nuggets and late breaking information and that sort of thing. That's not going to be able to happen. Fortunately, the Sixers PR staff is great. And over the years, because I've been doing the game for a while, I've been able to develop some really good, solid relationships with members of the coaching staff and some other folks. Elton Brand has always been great. So between all of that, I will get my information that way. It won't be in person, and I'm going to have to be dependent on those people to be my eyes and ears, but that will be that. As it relates to doing the games, again, not official from NBC Sports Philadelphia in terms of what games we'll be doing. There is a lot of chainsaws being juggled now, as you might imagine, with the Phillies coming back and the Flyers and the NHL coming back. So all that's to be determined. But it's my best guess that we will, certainly we won't be in Orlando. and we'll be remote, and they will give us whatever they can in terms of monitors or statistical information or anything that we can get from on site that will hopefully enhance what it is that I can bring to viewers at home. I'll be doing the game off a monitor. I've done that before. It'll be strange, admittedly, doing it without fans or crowd effects or anything like that. But it is what it is, and it'll become what it'll become. And whatever it is, I'm looking forward to it when it comes.
Where will the monitor be? Will you be doing this from home? Will they have the
No. So I anticipate that we'll be in some remote location. I would say in all likelihood somewhere at the arena, because we already have facilities there. We already are hooked in technically in terms of, broadcast locations and booths and trucks and production facilities and that sort of thing. So all that's going to, it won't take place in Orlando, but in all likelihood it'll be somewhere at the arena.
Yeah, that's the reason why I asked it, because I know that the building has been closed for a while, and, Booney's producing this show from a remote location. I didn't know whether that studio is going to be reopened so you guys can do this. And if so, then where's that put Ala, and where does Serena figure in on the broadcast?
So we'll in all likelihood be socially distanced, as any people who are working in an environment will be. And I'm sure that there will be a complete set of protocols as it relates to entering the building, where we're allowed to go, who we're allowed to interact with. And, I do it now anyway, whether I go out for a walk with my wife or, we happen to go food shopping, you wear a mask, you stay socially distanced, all that sort of thing, plus some other things that are relative to the workplace, I'm sure will be enforced.
All right. So I've been watching the PGA, and they have been socially distancing their broadcast, and they set up a microphone, and the golfer comes to that microphone. Is that a possibility in your broadcast? And will Serena be down there to facilitate it or not?
Yeah, no, Serena is very much going to be a part of it. And I would imagine that there will be some way in which a post-game guest can be connected to her, and she'll be back with us, and she'll do the interview remotely. Obviously, she's not going to be in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
So she'll just do the interview remotely, and we'll work it from that perspective. I'd like to think, Mike, that the viewer is going to be just happy to have Sixers basketball, especially if they do well. And although it's not going to be the kind of presentation that we normally give them with fans and being with the players and being able to get firsthand information, I think it's still going to be a pretty good product.
All right. Sounds good. This is a big week, so we can actually see the forest here, and we look forward to getting your broadcast and watching Sixer basketball again. And I guess I have to ask you the ultimate question, because we're in a discussion back and forth on what makes the people that look at the Sixers as a dangerous candidate to win the East now that we've been away from them. What has changed from what you saw previously?
That's a really good question. And it's not one that I'm prepared to answer. Certainly one thing that has changed is you have Joel Embiid. Of course, he did play that one game before the COVID shutdown, but you know that he's healthy, and you know that Ben Simmons is healthy and is moving around perfectly. And as Serena Winters reported, moving around to the point where it's as if he didn't even have an injury. So everybody is healthy, which is good. Remember, they only had their starting lineup for about a third of what of the games that were already played. And I certainly think that the three scrimmages and the eight seeding games will be as much about finding lineups and finding combinations and that sort of thing as it will be about winning. This is going to be a real challenge for the coaches. I'd like to think that they're up for it. They've had plenty of time to plan, but they're going to have to do what they have to do to get the team ready for the playoffs. And that's what we've been hearing from Sixers management, that this is a team that has been geared toward playoff basketball. Whatever form that takes now in this current iteration, and we don't know what playoff basketball or regular basketball is going to look like, they say that this is a team that has been geared toward the playoffs. So when that comes, we'll see how they perform.
There's a lot of talk about Shake Milton being in that starting lineup. Are you feeling the Shake, Josh Richardson, Ben Simmons perimeter with Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid with Horford coming off the bench, or you anticipate Horford going back in the starting lineup?
I certainly think it's possible for Sheik to start, but remember, that lineup did not start in any of those 60-some games that were played. So it's easier said than done to say, oh, Sheik Milton, he's been playing well, be great, he's another shooter, he can create off the ball, he can allow Ben Simmons off the ball, bring Al Horford off the bench, mix and match him with Embiid, blah, 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 blah. But again, that's easier said than done because they haven't really fielded that lineup at all. So again, I stress, with the 3 or so weeks that they had before, you know, the seeding games and the 3 scrimmages, I do believe as much as that will be about winning, it's also going to be about lineup combinations and starting lineups. And, you know, we'll see how it flushes itself out. Mid-August is playoff time, and that's when the rubber is going to hit the road.
Mark, always a pleasure. Best of luck to you with the, with this monumental task here. As we get Sixer basketball back in our lives, we appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, it's the people on the front lines who are dealing with COVID patients. They're the ones who have the monumental task. Me, I'm just sitting in front of a monitor and enjoying the world's greatest game and watching my team play.
I gotcha. Thanks for coming on.
You got it, my man.
All right, there's Mark Zuboff checking in. And it's good, yeah, because, well, we were under the impression that the Wells Fargo Center was not open, I guess. That's going to have to be part of it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to reopen those studios, and that's how where they're work, and they'll be in different rooms just like we are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Andrew in Orlando. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on down there?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, just want to thank you for the show, man. I appreciate you guys. Love your show.
Thank you, Andrew.
Mike, I got to talk to you about one thing first.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So you want the light stuff first or the dark stuff first?
Whatever you choose, bro.
All right. We're gonna go with this.
Uh-huh.
Because you're talking about sliced cheese the other day.
Yes.
All right, man. Look, man. You got to add a companion.
Yeah, then a companion to cheese.
You got to add a companion to the sliced cheese, man.
I totally agree with you. Andrew, keep going.
What's your favorite companion to the sliced cheese?
Well, anything, really, because I'm a turkey and cheese guy, but I'm also a bologna and cheese guy, and I'm an Italian meat and cheese guy. Cheese has to be accompanied by meat, is my point.
By meat. Okay. All right. All right, we'll move past that.
All right, let's move past that. Go ahead, bud.
Sixers, I'm a little pessimistic, man.
You're pessimistic, why?
I'm pessimistic on the team, but I'm pessimistic about the overall situation.
As far as what, them completing a season?
Yeah.
All right. So tell me what's going on down there in Orlando. Guys are not going to be in that environment. They're going to be in a bubble environment.
They're supposed to, right? My wife actually works at Disney.
Uh huh.
She's in housekeeping. I know. Disney is very. They're going to be on top of everything.
Yeah.
They have to get the employees. Have to get temperature checks.
Mm-hmm.
If they're high, they're gone. You can't work that day.
Right.
I'm not worried about that part. But you know, it's hard to keep. I'm thinking it's hard to keep people in a bubble like that for 3 months.
Yeah. I hear you, Andrew. Thanks for the call. The fact, you know, the more I think about it, the more I go. There has been such information and intelligence involved to scare these guys that you can't mess around, that maybe we're overvaluing this this raminess that they may have. Because they're concerned. They don't want to die either, right? So if it's a choice between wanting to go to a bar in town or dying, they have their families to think about. And they've already been bombarded with safety tips.
Well, and I have to think that, you know, to be a professional basketball player, you know the dedication that it takes. So they're also there because they want to play and they want to win. So taking any unnecessary risk not only takes them, puts their lives in danger, but it also takes them out of the game. And anybody who's going is going because they really, really, really want to be there. Otherwise, they would have opted out. That's my take on it, and that's how I think that a lot of the players are thinking about it.
I don't know about that.
No?
I think that they're going because they're professional basketball players, but they're scared to go. And so I don't think that they think it's a choice.
What, that they can't go? That they could opt out?
Like, if they're in the play, right, they're not going to opt out if they're part of a team that can win something. And there's only been one guy that's done that, and that's the Laker dude.
Right.
The guard. Avery Bradley. Nobody else on a winning team has done that. But you just heard Josh Richardson. Like, you would go, I'm going because I want to go. They're not saying that. They're going because they it's their job and it's their expectations that they need to play.
Right.
I think they're really uncomfortable with it.
Well, that's what I mean. I think if they're going, whether or not they're uncomfortable, they're going and they want to go and really try to win. So I think making any unnecessary risks would take away from them winning. And then the whole reason of putting yourself at risk is then negated.
You're right.
That's what I mean.
But see, this guy's wife works in housekeeping.
Right. Right.
There's going to be housekeepers coming in. Right. I know they have to be checked, but who knows who's asymptomatic.
Right.
And those people from outside come in. So, like, I'm going out of my hotel room at the same time she's coming in, or like she's in the vicinity, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm creating a scenario that, you know, probably doesn't make that much sense. But there's always that fear of, like, you're not locked down totally where you're in protective wrap.
Right.
You're mingling with somebody who's coming from the outside occasionally.
Yeah.
People bringing in food, whatever it is. All right, 610-632-0975. Charles Barkley at 5 o'clock. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get our Twitter poll update going in the 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show. Natalie Aganoff has the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 600 votes on it so far. Which is more likely to happen for the Sixers? 49% say out in the first round. 51% say make the conference final. So, split.
All right. And we're playing Good Sixer, Bad Sixer today. And also a little later in this hour, our 4 o'clock giveaway is a Dr. J autographed ball, regular size.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, that's correct. Andrew Salchunas is in for Tyrone today. Tyrone's still on vacation. We'll be back tomorrow. I've been thinking about Tyrone because I think I'm going to go veg.
You are?
Yeah, I'm getting these bad blood sugar numbers.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's because I just have to eliminate carbs out of my diet.
Yeah.
So today is my first day of taking carbs out.
Okay.
And so I had a little zucchini today.
How'd you have it?
Well, I went to the store and I said, you know, I haven't had it in a long time. But I make a zucchini like my mother used to make it in a tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with some Vidalia onion. And I used to cut up some fresh green beans and did that today.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, so tonight I'm going no carb.
Okay. Now, are you just doing, you're going to go veg, or are you?
Well, I'm thinking of veg. Tonight, I'm not going veg. I'm going to have a little protein.
Okay.
A little meat, but mm-hmm. No carb.
Okay.
I'll cut out carb for a week, see how it feels.
Yeah. I mean, I try to stick to low carb. It's tough.
I did that for about 2 months before my wedding.
Yeah, you did.
For my wedding. It was tough at the beginning.
I don't understand the blood sugar number. I don't have high blood sugar in my family. I don't eat sweets. I don't drink that much, except for a glass of wine every now and then.
It probably is the carbs.
It's got to be the carbs.
Are you eating healthy carbs or are you eating simple carbs?
The pasta rice I got to cut out.
Yeah.
usually I'll make a stir fry, which is healthy,
mm-hmm.
but I'll put a little rice with it, which is unhealthy.
Yeah. That's not bad. Yeah, Ty will be able to advise you when he comes back.
Yes. All right. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike. How you doing,
What's
man?
What's going on, Drew?
Good, man. I hope you had a nice holiday.
What's bad?
Good. So about the Sixers and the optimism level, I'm pretty optimistic about the Sixers going into this whole ordeal. Mm-hmm. I'm not optimistic about them actually being able to finish playing the season. I think that's going to still be in question. But as far as the Sixers go, I think it's going to be like everyone's coming off fresh. You really don't know what to expect from any of these teams. So I really think it's going to be anyone's game to be had. And if these guys are a little bit rested and healthy, then I don't see why they can't be competitive like with the rest of the big boys in the league.
I love your attitude here. But see, this is where I'm on the horns of a dilemma. Because I go, okay, five teams were better than the Sixers as we went into the break. Or at least four. Record.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, what in that time, that this idle time, has made the Sixers better? And so, is the optimism fake or real? Like, is the optimism that we want to feel better about sports starting and that's influencing us? Or is there a specific reason on why I should feel the Sixers are going to just be better than the teams that proved earlier in the season that they were better?
Yeah, well, that's, I think, you know, a good point. And I think the Sixers, that is, I think if the season would have continued as normal, we might have seen a different product that we saw earlier in the season. They might have started to mm-hmm. look better. I think there were some spots there where we did see, signs of really good basketball being played. So, I think, again, everyone's coming up into this, you know, on a clear, clean sheet. I think it's going to be maybe
the clean
false
sheet,
optimism.
Interesting. Your clean sheet has the Sixers somehow being better on the clean sheet.
It does.
And the other teams. Everybody else has the clean sheet too, right? The other teams were better than the Sixers. So why now with the clean sheet are the Sixers better?
Again, it could be just false, you know, it could be false optimism.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to.
I think they have the horses. They do have the horses.
Okay, I like it. I like you. So you think they have the horses?
I think the horses. The only thing that does scare me is the end of the game shot taking as far as who our go-to guy is going to be. And I think that falls into Tobias Harris. So I think he's going to be a big X factor with this to work.
Okay. I like it. All right, man. Let's play good, bad Sixer.
All right. Give me something I know.
Reggie Evans. Good Sixer, bad Sixer.
I don't know him.
You don't know Reggie Evans? Oh, he was that burly forward who was a rebounder. All right. I'll give you another one. Let's go with Jeremy Grant.
Wow, he was bad Sixer.
Bad Sixer.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew?
I guess I say he's all right. So I don't know if
that means he's bad.
But he did bring you Ersan Ilyasova in that trade with the Thunder.
Yeah, bad Sixer. Jeremy Grant, bad Sixer.
And Reggie Evans.
Everybody looked at him and go, oh, he's got potential.
Oh, the athleticism. Yeah, people love it. It was like KJ McDaniels.
No game.
But a better KJ McDaniels.
No game.
KJ McDaniels.
He's a no game guy.
Right.
Right, he's a no-game guy.
But Reggie Evans did one thing, and it was rebound.
Well, that made him a good Sixer. He knew his limitations.
That was the one thing he needed to do.
Man, to me, was a good Sixer.
But he had better years elsewhere. Brooklyn was where he would grab like 20 a game.
Sixers, he could score.
Not at all.
But he had a role, and that was it. And he didn't ask to do anything more. I like a guy like that.
All right, so you go good Sixer.
I go good Sixer
Reggie
for him.
Evans.
I go bad Sixer for the other guy.
Okay, that's fair. Now, let me ask you something about this clean mm-hmm. slate.
Yeah.
Do you think there's more players are more willing to buy into a system because it's like, all right, it's just the playoffs. Like, there's been a four-month layoff, right? So Brett Brown's going to have to create some sort of system. He can't have five different plans with only eight regular season games before the playoffs start. Like, he has to have a plan that he thinks this is what the best plan is, the best system for this team. Do you think players at this point go, you know what, whatever he gives us, I'm just going to buy in?
Yeah, I think they do. Because, listen, are they oblivious to the fact that they're a sixth seed? Like, are they oblivious? Like, could they show up and go, we're all right, after the way they played to finish in the sixth slot?
No, they would have to.
Okay,
they
I would think that they would have to open their mind at least. All right, we have to play a different way because that way we played before wasn't good enough because we were sixth.
Right, there's a lot of confusion.
But here's the thing that you're rounding off that I think we got to attack. You're thinking that Brett Brown will develop a system that will be more successful than what any other team brings back. Like, how do we make that leap?
That's a good question. Because I'm not a big Brett Brown guy.
He's had 4 months to study, blah, blah, blah. Well, so have the other teams.
Yeah, but
So Brett apparently was the only guy in the lab here?
No, but here's how I look at it. Does Milwaukee need to make a change? They might make a little tweak. Like, all right, you know what? Budenholzer probably goes, we'll be better if we do this. A little tweak.
No, but they already know what they have.
Exactly.
See, the Sixers obviously have to make a change because they know what they have. And what they have wasn't good enough. So they have to make something. But we don't know that what they come up with is going to be better.
But no, I understand that. I don't know. I'm going to give Brett Brown the benefit of the doubt because if he doesn't, he's done. Like, this is it for Brett Brown if they don't make it out of round two.
But I think you're expecting miracles here.
I think I am.
That somehow in 4 months he became like this, he found this amazing tool that developed a system that's going to make this team win.
Well, because I look at this
talent.
He's going
to do some things different. It comes down to the players on the floor and not him.
Right, and the players on the floor are talented. They should be better than what they are. They must be better. They should be better. There's no way going into the season anybody thought they'd be a six seed. Everyone thought they're going to run through the East.
Yeah,
Milwaukee's the only team.
I mean, he's gonna use these eight games. That's all he has.
That's not enough.
I agree. It's not enough. Yeah, that's what he's going to try and do. He has eight games to try and figure this out.
This is why it's hard for me to buy in. Because eight games does nothing for me.
Right.
Yeah. What we shall see. 610-620-9755. By the way, have you been watching any golf, Andrew?
No, I've not really.
You have not watched golf?
I've checked in.
This is where I'm going to plug right into Booney here, because I think I know what he hates about.
Oh, but Booney's not in today.
Oh, he's not in
Mike today, yeah.
Oh, it's Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Booney hates golf.
Okay.
Yeah, Booney's the guy that beeps the horn at people teeing off.
Oh, see, that's a violation. Yeah,
because Booney, he grew up like probably with not an affection for golf, as did I. I didn't know from golf. But so I watched. Now I'm watching these PGA, and the brightest light is this Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, Bryson.
He's like redefining the game, right? So he won the tournament this weekend.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. Like, he was crushing them down the fairway.
Yeah, he's hitting it like 360, and he's got this technique now. He's the bruiser, the whole bit, the weight training, and now I'm first of all, I'm Brysoned out. Like, it's too much now. Second of all, I hate every guy on the PGA Tour.
Why?
Because they are, like, there's nothing human about them. They're such spoiled asses. Like, this, you know what he did this weekend? He hit a bad shot out of a trap. And the camera, and he threw his club. Because he's like a brat. So he threw his club and he had some things to say. So the cameraman, obviously, is told by the director, keep the camera on him. So the camera guy follows him as he walks out of the trap, as he's walking towards the green. Bryson turns around and gets into an argument with the cameraman, saying that he was ruining his brand by exposing him, his temper tantrum.
Are you serious?
What?
Yes.
He no, he didn't.
It's always about the brand. It's hysterical to me. Now,
he did
listen,
not say that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he doubled down on it in the post. Round.
He said he's ruining my brand.
Yes, he said he's affecting our brand. When cameramen do that, then show the bad side, they're affecting our brand. So it's like mind boggling.
Here's a tip: don't throw your club.
He's the toast of the golf world, right? Now, he's not complaining that the camera's on him too much when he went and did a damn tournament, right? He ain't complaining at all about that. I didn't mean to nerve on these guys. And then the other guy that is the like up and comer is that young kid that was in that four ball match with the Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Matthew Wolf. It's another snarky little punk from Notre Dame. I hate them all. There's not one guy I like on that tour.
Yikes.
Man, I love the sport and I watch it every week.
Right.
There's not one guy I can say I like.
They also know they're basically the center of attention right now in the sporting world.
Well, they are.
And they're going to act like whiny little brats? Well,
golf has proceeded without fans. You don't need fans.
Right.
The only thing that's missing is the revenue coming from fans. I can watch golf with no fans. That doesn't enhance it at all. But yeah, what you do is that you hear these guys now, what they're saying.
Right. Oof.
So, like, he had a little temper tantrum, and then he had a temper tantrum on the cameraman.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, yeah, look it up.
What do you think the cameras are on you for?
Let's see if we can get the audio, because I know they recorded it. And he was like, thought he was totally in the right. But how dare that cameraman expose my club throwing?
Well, I keep saying this. Maybe if people want their stories to be told better, they should simply act better. What did you think was going to happen?
Golf's a frustrating game. When you hit a bad shot,
right.
But as a professional, you can't. Like, I can.
Right.
You know? Like, and I can F-bomb me to death when I hit a bad shot.
Yeah.
Right? But those guys, and part of being a professional is you can't do it. All right, Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 4:45, Mike Missinelli Show. Now, tomorrow, I think we're going to do something really interesting. And I hope it comes off.
Oh.
Well.
Okay.
So tomorrow, this show has morphed into a lot of different avenues, obviously, with the pandemic. And we have talked about some social issues. And one of the issues that's going on, it's very hot this weekend as well, was the Columbus statue issue. Yeah, we saw what happened in Philadelphia, where the protests and they were guarding the Columbus statue and, you know, the guns and the whole bit. And over the weekend in Baltimore, they pulled the Columbus statue down and dumped it in the bay. And so there are a lot of Italian Americans that are hot and bothered about this for reasons that I'm not sure I understand. But so tomorrow, we're going to explore both sides of the argument. Now, I was reading a wonderful op-ed piece in the Sunday Inquirer by a guy named Dino Pinto, who is a teacher at St. Joseph's Prep.
Okay.
And he is the Italian-American who is anti-Columbus. And we know the pro-Columbus Italians in Philadelphia are represented by an attorney named George Bacchetto.
Okay.
Who is a pro-Columbus Italian. So tomorrow, we're going to have them both on at the same time.
Interesting.
In kind of a point-counterpoint mini-discussion.
Okay.
And yeah. See how that goes. Sparks could fly, but I think it might be interesting to hear.
Well, and your background, you know, you can mediate and make sure that
I will mediate.
Yeah.
I'm on the record saying that I'm, here's the way I look at it as an Italian American, because we have so many other great cultural achievements to be proud of that I go, well, why would I care about Columbus has a dark side. The whole thing has a dark side. Why would I fight for that? Like, to me, it's fundamental.
Right.
You know, like, my life's not going to end as an Italian American because Christopher Columbus was pulled into the damn bay in Baltimore.
Right.
You know, there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't understand the Italian Americans that don't understand the reason why. So we're going to play that out tomorrow, see how it works.
That'll be exciting.
All right. Let's go with Zig and Frankfield? Frankfurt? Zig? Where are you from, Zig?
What's up, Mike? Great show always. The Chillin' most underrated. Natalie, perfect fit. Real quick points.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get them quick and already. Cheese hoagie. Done. Shouldn't even be on a menu. so many reasons. You pay $8 for a hoagie, so you could make it home. Robert Covington. Bum. Anytime you... file yourself out because you're getting beat on defense. Got to go. Bust. Michael Carter Williams, bum. The beach issue. Mike, you should have just, so they sat beside you, you should have paid Archie Bell. Tighten up. That would have solved the issue right there.
Yeah, I'm not there causing any confrontation. I just moved You know, I moved into a better space, more away from.
I actually fell tighten up. As far as the Sixers goes, Mike, unfortunately, second round exit, not a Sixers, but Brett Brown's so slick in his words that he's going to maneuver himself back into another year, unfortunately, whether it gets shut down or not.
That's another year's not going to come unless they play for in the Eastern Finals and they give the Bucks a run. That's the only way he's coming back, I think.
Oh, no. Listen, do you hear his interviews, Mike, at the game? When he get blown out by Orlando, like, he's so slick. He's going to blame something because I'm going to get my my bus. Okay. And then the last but not least, Dollar Redskin saying, I really don't care what we change our name to. We stink. We ain't going to never be good.
Yeah, well, that name is going to get changed. It's the reign of dawn.
By the end of the season, we're going to have Alex Smith playing for it. Ain't we still playing?
Yeah, I know your team stinks, but the name change is more important. Let me give you a Sixer, good or bad. Good Sixer or bad Sixer. Let's go with Hersey Hawkins.
Bad
Sixer?
Bad.
What?
My man was down a lot.
Yeah, Hersey Hawkins.
Hersey is a solid Sixer. Yeah. 19 points a game Sixer.
Yeah, it's a good Sixer.
Yes. By the way, John Heim from Philly was our winner of the Ben Simmons jersey in the 3 o'clock hour. So the 4 o'clock hour coming your way in 4 minutes' time. The Dr. J autograph basketball regular size and Charles Barkley at 5. So you don't want to miss a minute right now. So this cheese hoagie thing, Natalie, I see you got a lot of feedback on the social media.
I did. People, cheese hoagie. Yeah, I got a lot of love for it. I think it has a bad rep, but it's good. And there are people out there who love it. So I'm glad that, you know, there are people who appreciate it as much as I do. They're fellow cheese person.
The guy just brought up a good point.
What?
Full price.
It's mixed cheese.
The same price for the cheese that should include meat, which is the underplayed disgrace in this cheese hoagie caper.
It's mixed cheese.
It should be
cheese.
A dollar less than any meat hoagie.
What's more expensive, a quarter pound of ham or a quarter pound of Gouda?
Gouda?
Not Gouda. Munster, if you will.
Ham is more expensive.
Than Munster cheese?
Crappy boiled ham you can get cheap, but if you get like forest ham, that's more expensive than cheese.
Cheese is expensive.
It's
good
not
cheese.
Expensive.
It's kind of expensive.
It's not. American cheese is not expensive. Munster's not expensive either.
Provolone?
Not expensive.
It's, no, but it's comparable.
Less expensive than meat.
No.
Yes,
no.
It is.
It's mixed cheese, that's why. There's multiple cheeses.
They've been taking.
I will
you
die
all
on the cheese
years.
Mountain.
You've been paying too much money for cheese hoagies.
No,
you could have been banked for all that money you spent on cheese hoagies. It was a dollar cheaper. That dollar would go to a good cause in the net life.
Look, I'll die on the cheese hoagie mountain. I don't mind.
Let's go, Mark. What a sell, Mark. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Mark. Yo, Mark.
Hi, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, man?
Is great, but you got to have a great role to go with.
Yeah, Mark, we can hardly hear you, man. See, we can clear you up here. Talk into the microphone.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. All right, go ahead.
The cheese hoagie is great as long as you have a great role.
Yeah, it's not.
But anyhow, I'd like to talk to Sixers just for a second.
Go ahead.
Now, it could be some fake enthusiasm because our record was 10-22 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And every game from here on out is on the road.
Yeah, but there's no crowd, so that negates it completely.
But do you think Brown is going to turn that around and get us to the third round?
Well, that's the only chance they have. Like, to me, they got to finish sixth. Win a series, win another series, and then get to Milwaukee. And in that case, I think they have a fighting chance.
Right. It's just my enthusiasm is a little low,
mm-hmm.
just because of their road record.
Yeah, but they're not on the road, bro. See, the road record is influenced by the other team's home crowd. These games are going to be played with no crowd, so everybody's on the same. It's a level playing field. The other team's not playing a home game either. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. I just have a feeling that Brett Brown is not going to motivate him, and if they're going to play like they are on the road.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't think the road home thing has anything to do with it. It's a pickup game on a neutral turf, really, for both teams.
Well, you gave me a little hope.
All right. Let's play good Sixer, bad Sixer.
Sure.
Drew Holiday.
Oh, my. I'm going to go with bad.
Bad Sixer. Drew Holiday, good Sixer, Andrew?
Good Sixer, better Pelican, but good Sixer.
Boy, I don't get the feeling he was a good Sixer. And again, this is all in context. You know, like when I think of him, I don't think good Sixer.
I go good Sixer.
Totally expendable Sixer he was, which means he was not a good Sixer.
Well, he was also not one of the guys, right? Like, that was still, Iguodala was still here. Yeah, Lou Williams coming off the bench still.
His numbers were decent. I'm probably grading him harshly, but I would side more on the bad Sixer than good Sixer.
Okay. I would go good Sixer.
That's a good name. Better I want to bring him up. I want to repeat as well with people. All right. Charles Barkley will join us at 5 o'clock on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports in Philadelphia. And now it is time to give another six. If you're the sixth caller, because Julius Erving was number six, sixth caller on our contest line, 215-263-0975, you will get a Dr. J autographed basketball, regular size ball, signed by the great Julius Erving. 215-263-0975. Sixth caller, good luck.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.